Well, we'll read from Matthew chapter 24, as we did this morning, verses 36 to 42. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 to 42. The divine text says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Amen. So we've looked at part one of the sermon on Noah's Ark and the Flood. In part one, we looked at the first and second points, which are firstly the old world, and secondly, the flood. So now we come to part two. And in part two, we will look at the third and fourth points, which thirdly, after the flood, and fourthly, the coming of the Son of Man. So now we come to the third point, brethren, in this sermon, after the flood. So God had warned Noah, and Noah believes God, and so by faith, Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives, eight souls, a remnant, were saved in that ark. God saved Noah. We read in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. We've seen, brethren, that the ungodly were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. As we said, their hearts were overcharged with the cares of this life, and so they were not aware. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but the ungodly would have scoffed at Noah and mocked him. And so they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Now that's a serious matter. It is something that has taken place historically. And Jesus takes something that has happened to teach about something that will happen. As we said in part one of this sermon, food and marriage are natural things. And God has created marriage and food, we read, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. But the hearts of the ungodly brethren were overcharged with the cares of this life. And so they were until the day Noah entered into the ark. But Noah believed God. And so when the waters were dried up from off the earth, and the earth dried, God commanded Noah and his house to go forth out of the ark. And so we pick it up here, brethren, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 15 on. God commanded Noah and his house to go forth out of the ark. It says, "And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons wives with thee, Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. So God commanded Noah and his house to go forth out of the ark. And he was to bring forth with him every living thing that was with him of all flesh. And so they did. In verses 18 to 19, we read, and Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And then, brethren, in verse 20, we read what Noah did. He built an altar to the Lord, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. It says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So Noah offered burnt offerings on the altar he built to the Lord. And then we read in verses 21 to 22, and the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And of course the Lord has kept his promise and goes on doing so. Finally, if we were to look at Genesis 9, verses 1 to 17, we would see the blessing and the covenant of God. We'll just briefly note some points. Firstly, God blessed Noah and his sons. That's in verse 1. Secondly, all the living creatures were delivered into their hands, verse 2. And then in verses 3 to 4, God said every moving thing that lives would be food for them, but they were not to eat the flesh with the blood of it. Fourthly, God established capital punishment for murder. We see that in verses 5 to 6. Fifthly, God commanded them to multiply in the earth. And sixthly, God said he will establish his covenant with them, verses 9 to 11. God said in verse 11, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And we see that his bow, that he set his bow in the cloud, to be for a token of the covenant. And so, brethren, we come to the fourth point of the sermon, which is the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus, speaking of himself, says in Matthew 24, from verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And then our Lord's admonition to us is, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Notice, brethren, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So as the days of Noah were before the flood came, so shall also the days be before the coming of the Lord. So firstly, let's look at the days of Noah that were before the flood in light of the coming of the Lord. Firstly, in Genesis 1 to 6, we read that there were giants in the earth in those days. Women bore children, it seems, to fallen angels. And these children became giants. So shall also the days be before the coming of the Lord. It could be that women shall bear children to fallen angels. Now, I've heard some very strange things from people that I know of things that have happened, which I won't go into detail, which are concerning. The possibility of what can happen is there. Now, is a possible suggestion. Could it be that UFOs are actually fallen angels? Project Blue Book was a code name for the systematic study of UFOs by the United States Air Force. And thousands of UFOs were reported. The reports were collected, analysed and filed, and some of those reports were classified as unexplained, even after stringent analysis. It's a possibility that we should be aware of. Secondly, biogenetic engineering may also be a means of producing unnatural offspring. The things that they're playing around with now is becoming more and more dangerous. But they are messing around with biogenetic engineering. Secondly, brethren, the wickedness of man was great in the earth. So shall also the days be before the coming of the Lord. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But then notice this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It's not just talking about people outside of the church, it's talking about those who profess to be followers of Jesus. They have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Thirdly, the ungodly were not aware. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Their hearts, as we've said, were overcharged with the cares of this life. And so they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the days be before the coming of the Lord. The heart of many now, brethren, are overcharged with the cares of this life. And I've seen things written on pubs, printed on car stickers, such things as eat, drink and enjoy. Or one life, live it. This, brethren, was the attitude of those before the flood, and it is the attitude in our times. However, fourthly, Noah was warned of God that he would bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. And so we are warned of God to flee the wrath to come. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And when that day comes, the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the earth. And so we're warned of God to flee the wrath to come. Fifthly, God commanded Noah to make an ark. The ark is the church. And as Noah prepared an ark, so we are to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The church is to edify or build up itself in love. We read of the ark Noah was to make in Genesis 6, 14 to 16. If you'd like to look at this, brethren. Genesis 6, verses 14 to 16. We read, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Now, brethren, let's look at just two things from this. Firstly, the ark was to be pitched within and without with pitch. This would seem to speak of the Spirit of God dwelling in the church and poured upon the church. The church is to endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So as the ark was pitched within and without, so the church is to have the Spirit poured upon it and to dwell within the church. And we're to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Secondly, the ark was to be of certain measurements. So firstly, the length of the ark was to be 300 cubits. 300 cubits. 300, brethren, speaks of an army. In Judges chapter 7, the Lord chose 300 men for Gideon's army. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 17, King Solomon made 300 shields of beaten gold. So as the length of the ark was to be 300 cubits, so the members of the church are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, which shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The Lord has chosen his church to be soldiers. Paul says in Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brethren, our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against the devil and his angels. So Noah was to prepare an ark, and the length of the ark was to be 300 cubits. So we are to be prepared. The members of the church are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are in a spiritual warfare. Secondly, the breadth of the ark was to be 50 cubits. 50 speaks of the Holy Spirit. From the day Christ rose from the dead to the day of Pentecost is 50 days. And it was when the day of Pentecost was fully come that the church was filled with the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 21, the church is commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Firstly, the church is sanctified or made holy by the Holy Ghost. As Paul says in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And so, brethren, we need to be filled with the Spirit. The ark is to be 50 cubits broad. Secondly, concerning 50, we read in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14 that the gifts of the Spirit are given to the church to edify or build up the church. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 49, "Let all things be done decently and in order." So as the breadth of the ark was to be 50 cubits, so the church is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Thirdly, the height of the ark was to be 30 cubits. 30 speaks of maturity. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. When Jesus was 12 years old, we read in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. And when Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, he was baptised and the Holy Ghost descended upon him. So the church, which is his body, is to increase in wisdom and in stature. 30. Paul says in Ephesians 4 that Christ gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Christ gave these ministers that the church would come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. They're given, brethren, for our maturity. So as the height of the ark was to be 30 cubits, so the church is to be of full age in the word of God. And so they are the three measurements of the ark. Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. In other words, to the saving of his wife and his three sons and their wives. They were eight souls. And as the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was at preparing, so the Lord tarries. He delays to come. Why? While the church is being made ready, prepared for the Lord. And why does the Lord delay? Because he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, sixthly, there was a door set in the side of the ark, and those eight souls entered into the ark. Jesus is that door. And if any man enters in the church by Jesus, he shall be saved. We enter in the church, which is his body, by baptism into Jesus Christ. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." And so after they entered into the ark, we read in Genesis 7:16, "And the Lord shut him in." So that door which was set in the side of the ark was then shut. The door by which we may enter the church and be saved is still open. It's open. But a time shall come when the Lord shall shut to the door. And it says in 2 Corinthians 6, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Brethren, I plead with you to go through that door. If there's somebody listening, go through that door. Jesus calls us to turn from our sin, to turn from our evil ways, and believe the gospel, which is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And so we're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ while the door of faith is open. Secondly, brethren, let's look at the flood in light of the coming of the Lord. Firstly, we have said in the days of Noah that were before the flood, the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And Jesus says they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Their hearts were overcharged with the cares of this life. There are so many distractions in this world. And those things are natural, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. But when our hearts are overcharged with these things, brethren, when we are distracted by these things and we don't give thought to our eternal welfare, then we've got our priorities wrong. God warned Noah, and Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but the ungodly would have scoffed at him and mocked him. Do we not see this today? We come and meet together. The church gathers together, and the people out there think we're crazy. But our cry is that they'd come through that door while it is open. The flood came, brethren, and destroyed all them that were not in that ark. But Jesus also said this, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So secondly, as the flood came and the ungodly were not aware and it destroyed them all, so the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And when that day comes, the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the earth. Make no mistake about it, it's coming. Paul speaks of the day of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And brethren, we've seen before in the parable of the 10 virgins, the danger isn't just for those outside of the church, but those that profess to be the church. They have the lamps, the foolish virgins, but they don't have the oil in the lamp. They don't understand the scriptures. And so they have the word. So many churches in our land, and we're blessed to have it, have the word of God. But it's like a torch without batteries, or as the Americans say, flashlights without batteries. If there's no batteries, it won't switch on in the dark and you won't be able to see. Well, if there's no oil in the lamp, you won't be able to see when the Lord is coming. The Lord comes as a thief in the night. And brethren, we need to be ready. Notice, it is when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. They will not be aware until the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth. However, Paul says of the church in verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day shall overtake you as a thief. It's not to overtake us as a thief. We don't know what our Lord does come, so therefore we're to watch, we're to be vigilant. We're to watch for all those things which Jesus said shall come to pass, leading up to his second coming and to the end of the world. We're not in darkness, that that day shall overtake us as a thief. Let me just put a question to you, brethren. If we can't understand the scriptures, the prophetic scriptures, how are we supposed to be ready? There is so much division in the church over the prophetic scriptures. Why? Could it just be that some have oil in the lamps and some don't? Does it mean that we need to examine ourselves to make sure we know? There is so much division in the body of Christ on that subject, and I really feel as though we need to get to know it. And the only way we'll get to know it is if we pick up the scriptures for ourselves with the guidance of the Spirit and with the guidance of godly men, the Bible teachers, and to understand it. We need oil now, not when it's too late. We need the oil now, brethren. And what do we read in Acts chapter 17, verse 11? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. How do we know if what is said is right or not? Can we know? Well, apparently so we can. We can know whether something it is said, whether it's right or not. How do we know? Search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. If we don't search the scriptures, we're not going to know. If we simply read the Bible through what other people tell us, then we're in danger of reading the Bible through a system. We need to read the scriptures for what they say and not reinterpret it according to the doctrines of man, like the Pharisees did when they made the traditions of men their doctrine, and they made void the word of God. Brethren, let us not fall into that error. So thirdly, as Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house, so the church is to be made ready, prepared for the Lord. Noah, his house, and the living creatures were saved in that ark. They were saved in that ark. And as the waters bore it up, and as it was lifted up above the earth, so everyone which enters in the church, which is his body, by baptism into Jesus Christ, are delivered from the wrath to come. And when Jesus comes as a thief, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We shall be delivered from the wrath to come. The church shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the earth. So, brethren, let's conclude. Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As the ungodly knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So I close with what Jesus says in Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So, brethren, let's watch, therefore, and be ready for the coming of the Lord, that when he comes, we shall be taken and not left. Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.